I'll skip over item one and item two, approval of the meeting minutes from last month. Would someone like to move that?
I'll move approval of the meeting minutes.
I will second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Discussion? So minutes passed from last.
This is Justin Elliker. I'm an aye.
This is Susan Whetstone. I'm abstaining since I wasn't at that meeting.
And this is Kathy Graves. I'm abstaining because I wasn't present.
And this is Michael Gormley. Aye.
Carolyn, we have.
Yep, we're fine.
Fine. Okay. So the minutes from the February 16th meeting passes. Item four is information only. Item five, information only. Item six through eight, once again, information only. Would
Madam Chair, may I make a quick comment?
Yes.
I just wanted to, there's a couple of people that have worked for the city for quite a long time and had a big impact. I just want to acknowledge Otis Johnson and Harold Brooks, who have had an incredible impact over the years in the city and have really thrown themselves and their passion into their work, and thank them for their service.
Thank you. Items 5, 6, 7, and 8 are information only. Would someone like to move the payment of the bills?
This is Carolyn. I just have one comment on our bill. It should just be 6,000. I saw that it's 6,000 and change, and I can send a corrected bill.
Would someone like to move the payment of the bills?
This is Susan Whetstone. I move approval of the bills as amended by Carolyn Cohn.
This is Michael Gormley. I will second Susan's, Trustee Whetstone's motion.
All in favor?
Susan Whetstone, aye.
Michael Gormley, aye.
Kathy Graves, aye. Trustee Elliker?
Aye.
Motion carries. We will pay the bills as amended. Okay, I believe we then, is there any discussion on item three with regard to the renewal of the insurance? Taylor, are there any changes? Taylor?
Yes, so there is a small change from last, I believe it's yearly, so I think it was last year's amount, but I think there was just a small increase. Did everyone get the email that I sent out with the amount that was on it, the invoice?
I got it.
Yes, Susan Whetstone, I got it.
Any comments or questions from the trustees? You want to move that we accept the renewal of our insurance, of our liability insurance?
This is Justin Elliker. I make the motion to approve the renewal of the insurance.
Susan Whetstone, second.
It's been moved and second that we renew the liability insurance. Any discussion? All in favor?
Justin Elliker, aye.
Susan Whetstone, aye.
Michael Gormley, aye.
Kathy Graves, aye. Okay, so I will turn it over to Raymond James.
Thank you, Kathy. Good morning. Taylor, why don't we start with the performance report, if you could? Mario's calling me right now. Let me just mute myself quickly, if you don't mind. Okay, thank you. Taylor, if you could scroll down to, I believe, page 4. So this is obviously through February, the end of February, so February 28th, not including, you know, the roughest part of the market cycle is the last few weeks, but right here is good to start. I just want to highlight a few things on the overall composite. You can see the fund is roughly $227 million. You know, the first 2 months of the year have been, you know, obviously very, very volatile. And then obviously into March, the last couple of days have been good. But when we all know, we'll talk, you know, in the market commentary about what's going on in the world and, you know, kind of what we see moving forward. But some notable mentions here, you can see for the 1 month, the fund is down 0.9%, and we're besting our policy index and our passive index, which are down 171 and 115. So the fund's only down 0.9. For the 3 months, the rolling 3 months, the fund's down 2.96 versus 3.47, which is the policy index, and the passive index slightly better. Even notably, 1, 3, and 5 years, you can see we're up still more than our asset allocation policy index, which is in the policy. And the balance index is basically the fund's passive index. So you can see 1 year up 6.29, 3 years. Now, these 3 and 5 years are annualized rates of return, not cumulative. So 3 years, the fund's compounded out at 11.74, which is better than both of their passive indexes. And 5 years, 9.71. So, you know, still positive returns over the last, you know, 3-5 years. So that's good. And we could talk about some of the things that we've done and then some of the opportunities that are presenting themselves now. Obviously, you know, when the markets sell off like they do, it's painful. And especially for the reasons that it's sold off, very painful. But, you know, from a financial standpoint, we have to look at what does that do for valuations and where is there potential opportunity? What stocks are now cheap? One of the things that this fund did beginning of Q4 last year, might have been the end of Q3, is we recognize that growth stocks, specifically large cap growth, that had done so well up until end of last year, did very, very well. We said, okay, well, valuations are a little stretched. Where is our opportunity? And it was large cap value. So as you can see from the weighting, large cap growth to large cap value, it's basically a 2-to-1. You can see large cap growth is now about 10%, 10.5% of the portfolio. Large cap value is about 19% of the portfolio. And throughout this mess that's been going on, the area of the market that's been hit the least are large cap value, dividend payers, for a multitude of reasons. And we'll talk about that between the Fed and then obviously what's going on in Ukraine. So that was a good move that helped stave off some of these losses that have been recognized in the markets. So that's a good move. You know, obviously mid-cap, we added that, we rebalanced at the end of the year just because by the investment policy, we needed to have an increase in mid-cap. That timing was not most opportune time, but, you know, as a fund like this, we have to rebalance annually, and we did. And if our timing was a little better there, that would have helped. Excuse me. One of the things I want to also recognize, small cap. So what areas of the market got hit the most during this sell-off were growth, you know, growth technology names, large cap growth, mid and small cap. But one of the things I want to look at is if you look at Fuller and Thaler, our active small cap manager, they've done very well, all things considered. They're down 0.67% over the quarter versus their benchmark was down 6.6%. And you look at 1 year and 3 years, they've massively outperformed their passive benchmark. So these are the areas where we love to see active management that can actually pick stocks and outperform on the upside, but more importantly, protect your money on the downside. So when we do hire an active manager, that's what we look for. And Fuller and Thaler has done a great job right from the start. So very pleased with the help there. WCM, they've been, you know, international equity, they've been rock stars for a number of years. Obviously, what's going on in the world does not help international stocks. Those have been hurt the most. We could talk about that in a bit, but you know, you can see short term they really taken it on the chin. But if you look out, you know, 3 and 5 years, and since inception, the returns are still double their passive benchmarks. So short term, you know, some of the places that they found opportunity, there's been a bit of a challenge short term, but they still have very, very good long term outperformance. So we're not at all concerned with WCM. It's just being in that space right now is very, very difficult. Next page, please. Oh, actually, can you go back one page, Taylor? I'm sorry. One thing in my notes I wanted to mention is, you know, how we last end of last quarter, fourth quarter last year, when we rotated into value, that's been a very, very good, I don't want to say safe haven, but it's been the best place to be. But what it's done, if you, we'll talk about it in the market commentary a bit as well, but large cap growth stocks have taken it on, have had the biggest sell-off during this market volatility. So now we're starting to say, okay, well, what was once overpriced is now rightly priced. So those growth stocks are something that we might want to revisit. And if you remember a few months ago, we actually several months ago now, we hired American Century to manage that large cap growth piece. So, you know, I could touch base with, you know, obviously Carolyn and Jack, I think Jack's on the call as well, where we are with contract negotiations with American Century. But that said, you know, when that gets wrapped up, it might be ideal timing to rotate back to an overweight of growth. So that's one thing I wanted to just mention. So the growth stocks will be hopefully added, you know, in the near future. Next page, please. Okay, so this just goes into some of the fixed income, which we are still light on, and rightfully so. We have both domestic and international fixed income. You know, anything when bond yields go up like they have, I mean, they're 10 years over 2 right now, over 2%, which is huge, huge run up in the 10-year. You know, when yields go up, bond values come down. So there's really been nowhere to hide in the fixed income market, both domestically and then obviously internationally. Now, international bonds were somewhat of a hedge to, you know, domestic rate policies, but what's going on in the world has been a struggle there as well. We have to have bonds. They are typically the ballast in the portfolio during rocky waters, but we are historically light on fixed income, and we think we need to remain so for now. At some point, we hope to maybe add some opportunistic fixed income in there at some point, but for right now, we're in a good spot. One thing we wanted to talk about is we did that emerging market bond search. We had the three finalists. Next month is actually our quarterly meeting, and we've invited the three managers to come in and present. That'll be hopefully at next month's April meeting. Alternatives, most of these things are either not priced or, you know, quarterly priced, so I don't need to spend a lot of time here. Alkyon, also one of our superstars, has been hitting a rough patch because they're basically in global stocks, liquid global stocks, both long and short. They utilize leverage, so they've taken it on the chin a bit. We've been in contact with them. They're doing some things to weather the storm, and we could talk more about that if need be. You know, private equity and private real estate in the next two pages, we don't need to spend a lot of time on. If you want to scroll down, Taylor. And then obviously we have a little bit of cash. I believe the last of the ARC payments were made last month. So all the contributions have been put in. Benefit payments are going fine, obviously. Next page, please. This is next page. So this just shows, I like to highlight this every once in a while. So what I was talking about earlier is, you know, your target rates in your investment policy statement. We need to might be mindful of that, and we look where you're in range and where you're not in range. As you can see to the right, you're in range everywhere. Everything's green lighted. We do have some ranges, obviously some flexibility to be high or low in the range. So you can see with, you know, fixed income, we are low, and that's intentional. But, you know, at some point we will look to increase those ranges, increase those allocations. But for right now, we're in range with everything from a U.S. equity, international equity, in every way, shape, or form. We're, if not at our target, very close to our target allocation. So we are mindful of that going into the end of calendar year and when we rebalanced. So moving on. Keep going, please. A couple more. There's only a couple more slides I wanted to show. Not this one. Not this one. Right here. So this just shows graphically, you know, obviously short term, the fund versus the passive, the allocation or the policy benchmark. You know, so when you look at a large fund like this, you look at how is the fund done against its policy. And as you can see, the dark blue line is the SURF fund and the light blue is the policy. So pretty much in every metrics, when things are down, you've lost less. And when things are up, you've made more. So cumulatively, it looks very good. So what we're doing here as a committee, I think, is a testament to the hard work that's been put into this. So that said, we're looking good in even in tumultuous times. Any questions on the performance report before I talk quickly about markets? I know I'm not even on this is not really my time to speak, but I thought, you know, what's going on in the world, we couldn't miss this meeting. I want to just kind of talk about what we see and go from there. So any questions, performance, before I move on? Okay. Thanks, Taylor. Market talk. So this was through last Thursday. You know, some of the things have changed, but obviously in the upper right, we just look at what's going on in the markets, and it's really been very, very difficult to navigate any bright spots in the market besides energy, obviously. And we all know why energy, you know, what's going on with Russia and Ukraine. And then obviously in the background, there's China and Taiwan. That's another very large concern we have on what's going to happen within the world. So, you know, obviously China's watching very closely how we and the rest of the world handle the situation in Ukraine. And that's something that we have a close eye on. And, you know, it could get a little bit worse before it gets better. But it's no secret what's going on here. So let's talk about Russia. You know, what we have going on before Russia even invaded Ukraine in February, it was February 24th is when it happened. We still had other issues. We had other pressures. We had inflationary pressures, and we had the Fed potentially increasing rates. So that was what started the market sell-off and some of the issues we had in the market. And then you add to that the increased oil prices. I mean, oil went to $130 a barrel. And, you know, that's an overnight tax on the consumer. And we have a consumer-led economy. So now our concerns are, okay, we have inflation both on commodities like oil, as well as, you know, food prices and everything else that's expensive these days for the consumer. So that in and of itself is looked at as a tax hike to the consumer. And then you couple that with the uncertainty, the political uncertainty, the geopolitical uncertainty of what's going on in the world, and also the Fed's ability to choke off inflation. So for the Fed, prior to the Ukraine, the Fed was going to raise rates. You know, we expected, I think, a half a dozen rate hikes this year to, you know, take the inflationary pressures down. Well, now you saw the 10-year go all over from, you know, 1.2 to over 2, back down to 1.7. Now it's back up over 2. So the Fed today, the Fed committee is coming out today. We expect a 25 basis point rate hike. But we also think there might be some more dovish language from the Fed, meaning we don't know that 6 rate hikes are going to be applicable just because of the natural sell-off in the markets and the crunch on the economy. So, you know, obviously we're very mindful of that. If we could go to the next page, Taylor, I just want to talk about from a valuation standpoint where we feel we are and where we think things might go. This just talks about, you know, unemployment. So one bright spot is unemployment has come down quite a bit and the participation rate has come up. So that's a good thing. We've you know, had a better unemployment rate, and they're in areas that were hit the hardest, like leisure and hospitality, education and healthcare. So post pandemic, as Omicron fears start to subside a bit, people are going back to work, and some of these things are starting to cool off. So that's good. We still have inflation. What was once thought to be transitory is clearly more sticky inflation. So that's a real problem. Next page. So from a fundamental point, Raymond James, as well as pretty much every firm on the street, has lowered their expectations or their target price for the S&P 500. So, you know, what once was, you know, I think we were at 5,300 originally for 5,000 where we had it. We lowered our guidance to the end of the year to 4,725. That's base case. So you can see the upper right hand corner, base case 4,725. You know, currently we're at 4,262. So that's still a nice little potential upside from here on the S&P. Downside of our bear case is just about 4,200, which is right around where we are now. We're slightly above that. So it's not maybe another 5% loss here, potential worst case scenario. But, you know, surprises if things work out well, which is at this point doesn't look overly high odds of happening. But we have, you know, 4,900 on the S&P. But realistically, what we look at is, okay, the market has sold off. We're back to pre-pandemic levels. We're at the five-year averages on PE. Our equity risk premiums are back down to five-year averages. So the market was at a very toppy high rate. And unfortunately, what's happening around the world is pushing pressures down. There's another chart I want to highlight that I thought was very interesting. If you could go to the next page, Taylor. This just shows technically where we are in the S&P. We look at, you know, obviously fundamentals from PEs and earnings per share and, you know, those bottom up. We also look at, okay, from a technical standpoint, where is it? And it's just, you look at charts and trading ranges and supports and resistance, and you can see we hopefully are bottoming here. And we can talk more about that. If we don't bottom here, then we have another 5% downside potentially back down to like 4,000 to 4,100. That's another 5% lower from where we are today. But things are starting, the market's starting to act a little bit better than it has been. So we're cautiously optimistic here. Next page, please. So one of the things I want to highlight is, you know, if we are pushed into a recession, obviously that's now a dialogue that we're having, you know, is a recession possible? You look back to the original Gulf War back in 1990, when oil peaked. So the two charts on the left of the screen, the on top and the bottom, that shows the market. The top chart is the S&P 500. The bottom chart is the price of oil. So ironically, oil topped out at $40 back in 1990. But you can see the peak in oil prices coincided with the bottom of the equity market. And it was a very similar, you know, oil-led recession. And you can see the market, bottomed and then started to trend upward from there back in 1990, 91. And if you look, you know, crude oil was at $130 a barrel a few days ago. Now we're at 97. So if in fact we have tops, I'm not calling a top in oil, but you know, what are the things we're looking at that from a chart standpoint that looks interesting? You can see the bottom or the right bottom, that's current oil prices, and the top right is the S&P 500 currently. So you can see if potentially crude oil has peaked and now is settling, hopefully it does, this in turn could relate to a bit of a bottom of the market. You know, a lot of sectors within the market are already in bullish territory. I mean, they've already reprieved over 20%. So I'm sorry, did I say bullish? I meant bearish. There's been a correction is 10%, bear market's 20%. A lot of sectors in the market, namely growth stocks, growth-oriented technology stocks, have been, you know, bear market territory. Some of the, you know, obviously value names that we talked about, the dividend payers have not been a bear market, but they have been in correction territory. So, you know, again, cautiously optimistic. We're not by any means suggesting, hey, let's put the chips in, but we hope and pray that things are resolved overseas. You know, who knows? You know, no one could predict that, but ultimately, we're hoping cautiously that things are going to get a little bit better from here. We think a lot of the sell-off has created some opportunities. So we just have to keep an eye on, you know, oil. If there is some sort of, you know, there, I mean, we heard today that a lot of, you know, folks in the government and the state level are looking at a gas tax holiday to help relieve some of the pressures at the pump. That's certainly helpful. But right now it's, you know, you look at Russia. So Russia represents about 10% of the world's oil supply globally. So that's a big number. And about half of that goes to Europe. So the Eurozone is really, really feeling this, ironically, more than we feel it. So there's a lot of pressure to get this resolved. How it's handled is, you know, obviously it's way over my pay grade, but hopefully things smooth out. If you want to just go to the next page, Taylor, I think there's just one more chart I wanted to talk about briefly. So this, again, just highlights, you know, to the right, the domestic-oriented stocks versus international and emerging market stocks. So you can see domestic stocks, you know, performance is significantly better than the rest of the world. So, and that's partially due to the dollar strength. If you go to the next page, please. One more. I think that might be it. So yeah, so this just highlights the surge in oil prices. And so the major stocks that were hit were consumer discretionary. Again, that's just what we're talking about, the growth-oriented stocks. Those were hit the hardest out of all of the stocks. And, you know, that's no surprise when you have these stocks started to sell off before the Ukraine war. It was during the Fed rate hikes and the 10-year drifting up. So we see these as potential opportunities. So as things start to work out, we're probably going to suggest, not yet, but we're probably going to suggest to shift from value, maybe not overweight growth, but right size our maybe equal weighting back to growth and value, just to hopefully, because those stocks have been beaten up so much, create some sort of intrinsic value there for the fund. I think that's it. Might be one more page. So this just shows global equities versus the S&P 500. So, you know, you can see Eurozone, emerging markets, they're well into bear market territory, where the S&P 500 is, you know, between a correction and bear market. So we're down 13% in the S&P through last Thursday. So we had a nice pop in the market yesterday. Looks like today is going to be a good market day, hopefully. So let's see what happens. So the point is in summation, you know, the portfolio is allocated in a balanced fashion. We've made some tactical changes, you know, the overweight value versus growth to help support some of this sell-off. Our small cap manager has done a good job of saving your money on the downside. You know, some of our illiquids obviously help through these markets. You know, our light fixed income has helped. So we're really where we can be. I mean, this is a long-term, you know, fund that needs to stay invested for the long-term. The fund has done a good job ultimately of holding up through the end of February. We'll see what the March numbers look like. But for right now, we're not suggesting any changes, but we just wanted to get in front of you and say, hey, you know, the pain index is high. We're aware. If there was something that needed to be done, we would suggest it. But at this point, we're in it and we're staying steady. And we don't suggest any changes right now. And if we do see some opportunities or some bright turns for the better, we might accelerate our suggestion to increase growth-oriented stocks. So that's where the value is, and that's where we see some potential opportunity. Other than that, I'll open it up to if anybody has any questions or concerns. Okay, thank you. I just wanted to make sure that we were able to, I know we weren't, this is not one of our quarterly meetings, but we thought it was important to come in and have a discussion and just kind of let you know that, you know, what we think and where we see opportunity, and hopefully we all get through this, because it's a tough thing to watch unfold. With that said, thank you for your time. And if you have any questions, I'm here. Otherwise, we'll see you next month.
Thank you, Derek. Does anyone have any questions for Raymond James? Any old business? New business? Would someone like to move that we adjourn?
This is Justin. I'll make a motion to adjourn.
This is Michael Gormley. I'll second.
Been moved and properly seconded. Question? All in favor, say aye.
Justin, Jess Milliker, aye.
Michael Gormley, aye.
Susan Whetstone, aye.
Kathy Graves, aye. Have a wonderful month. Until next
Thanks, everybody.
Month.
Thanks, everyone. See you all later.
Bye-bye. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.